Hello, everyone. Blessings, peace, and goodwill be upon you all. Thanks for joining me for another episode of Bible Beyond the Basics. For those who may be joining for the first time, I am Dr. Clinton Baldwin of Dikayuma Ministries International, 66A Brunswick Avenue in Spanish Town, and also of the Baldwin's Biblical Manuscript Research Institute. Please invite your friends to listen to Bible Beyond the Basics. We have been enjoying a stimulating study on the Sabbath, and I wish to continue in the series. Tonight's presentation has to do with the Ten Commandments. Before we begin our study, however, let's have a word of prayer. Holy God, we open your words to study just now. May your Holy Spirit grant illumination, clarity, and conviction. May our hearts be humbled to accept the teaching of your words, even if they may not be comfortable to us. May this study be an avenue of positive transformation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In my last presentations, I demonstrated that Genesis chapter 2 cannot be the basis for Sabbath keeping today. This is so because the Sabbath was not commanded in Eden, and even if it were commanded to Adam and Eve, that would not necessarily make it a requirement for us today. How so? Because, as we discovered, God's laws throughout Scripture are always given within the context of covenants. And the fact that a particular law is binding under one covenant does not make the said law binding under another covenant. We are not under the Edenic covenantal arrangement, so even if God had declared the Sabbath binding in Eden, that would not make the Sabbath binding on us today. We saw many laws which were binding in Eden, such as the eating of fruits only, the subduing of the animal kingdom, and marriage, which are not mandatory on us today. Therefore, even if the Sabbath was binding then, that would not make it binding on us today. Additionally, we discovered that if the Sabbath is obligated based on its Genesis roots, then the so-called ceremonial Sabbaths like Passover, Pentecost, New Moon, Feast of Tabernacles are also obligatory because, according to Genesis 1 verse 14, they too have their roots in the creation story before sin. They likewise pointed backwards to creation and forwards to the cross. So, whereas the Sabbath was not explicitly commanded in Genesis, it cannot be enforced based on such arguments from science. So, if you choose to observe it, then fine. But you cannot say that the person who chooses not to observe it is sinning against God. It is just not reasonable to legislate whether or not a person can be a member of the body of Christ, the church, based purely on an argument from silence. That's going too far. That's asking too much. So let's continue our study on the Sabbath. This week, I want to continue our study by looking at the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are found in Exodus 20, 1 through to 17, Deuteronomy chapter 5, 6 to 21, and a less known version is found in Exodus 34, 10 through to 28. In this study, I will concentrate on the versions in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. These two are better known. In another study, I will treat the version in Exodus 34, 10 through to 28. For many people, the Ten Commandments or Decalogue is the conscience clincher as to whether or not they obey the Sabbath. The reasoning runs essentially like this. One, the Ten Commandments constitute God's moral, perfect, all-encompassing eternal law for all times and places. They have never been abolished, lest we are free to commit all sorts of immorality and sin. Two, the Ten Commandments is the foundation of all God's law. All laws radiate from the Ten Commandments. Therefore, the Ten Commandments is binding today. And three, all Christians agree that nine of the Ten Commandments are still binding. Therefore, if nine are required, why do away with one, namely the Sabbath commandment? Four, based on the fact that the Sabbath commandment is at the heart of the Ten Commandments, it should be kept. And 5, Jesus kept the Ten Commandments, and if Jesus kept them, in fact, he always worshiped on the Sabbath, so we too ought to worship on the Sabbath as well. The above logic appears very watertight and reasonable. However, it is not watertight. It is not reasonable. It is indeed logical, let's be fair. However, it is a logic based on false premises. So eventually it falls apart. It is maintained simply because it is a religious tradition which has been repeated for so long by so many powerful people that it appears to be true and informed, but they're not. I implore you to re-examine them, because it is time that many of you stop presenting this logic with such pride and confidence, as if it is really biblical. I'm sorry, my fellow Sabbatarian brothers and sisters. God knows I love you and respect you very much. But the above arguments for the Ten Commandments and the Sabbath in particular are untenable. Frankly, and with all due respect, they are somewhat elementary. That which you will gain from resigning them far supersedes that you will lose. Interestingly, most biblical scholars within the Seventh-day Adventist organization, for example, are not using these arguments anymore. They know better. Again, I call upon SDA scholars to level with your members. You have a moral responsibility to do so. Stop speaking in a whisper. Stop employing obscurantism. Stop saying that the members are not yet ready for these more informed positions on the Ten Commandments and tons of other things from the Bible. These things carry spiritual, social, financial, physical life and death consequences. And church members, I implore you, please begin to read for yourself and study more with an open mind. For God's sake, stop the emoting, pray some more, and think. Do not be afraid to think. The Sabbath cannot be binding because it is a part of the Ten Commandments. Because the Ten Commandments were never intended to be God's moral, perfect, eternal, all-encompassing law for all times and places. The Ten Commandments are not all moral, whatever definition of morality you choose to adopt. It is not a perfect code. The laws thereof are not eternal. They are not all-encompassing. The Sabbath is certainly not a moral commandment. The Bible indicates otherwise, and SDAs unknowingly do not observe the Sabbath as a moral commandment, even though they claim to do so. And notice, even if you think the other 9 commandments are moral, that does not automatically make the Sabbath commandment a moral commandment. No. From a biblical perspective, it cannot gain moral status by association. First, let's give ourselves some context for the Ten Commandments. The primary historical and theological context for the Ten Commandments is the giving of God's covenant to Israel at Sinai. Having rescued Israel from Egyptian slavery, God brought the nation to Sinai and there made a covenant with them, whereby Israel would continue to be his, Yahweh's, special people, and he, Yahweh, would be their God. See Exodus 19:1-10. That covenant was fleshed out in laws that God gave to Israel on Mount Sinai. The hub of the laws God gave on Mount Sinai was the Ten Commandments. So integral was the Ten Commandments to the covenant that in several places in the Old Testament is called the covenant. Let's read a few of these references. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 13. So he, referring to God, declared to you his covenant which he commanded you to perform, that is, the Ten Commandments, and he wrote them on 2 tablets of stone. Exodus 34:28. So he, Moses, was with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did not eat bread or drink water, and he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Deuteronomy 9:9. When I went up to the mountain to receive the tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant, which the Lord has made with you, then I remain on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. You may also see Exodus 40, verse 20, Deuteronomy 29, verse 1, chapter 9, verse 9, and also verses 11 and 15. So the historical and theological context of the Decalogue is that it constitutes the covenant God gave Israel at Sinai. The Ten Commandments is the crux of the Sinaitic or Old Covenant. Now, this is very important. It is a foundation principle number one. The Ten Commandments is an integral part of the Sinaitic or Old Covenant. So integral is it to the Old Covenant that in several places throughout the Bible, it is called the Covenant. Please see again Exodus 34, 28, chapter 40, verse 2, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 13, among others. The reason why most Sabbatarians miss this simple truth is that they are schooled to believe that the Old Covenant only applies to the law of sacrifices, to circumcision, civil laws, purity laws, the so-called ceremonial laws, but not to the Ten Commandments. But again, please note, there is no way around it, above it, under it, absolutely no escape. The Bible teaches in several places that the Ten Commandments is at the heart of the Sinaitic or Old Covenant. That cannot be denied. Again, the Ten Commandments is a part of the Sinaitic or Old Covenant, full stop. This simple knowledge alerts us that the Ten Commandments cannot be the constitutional basis for Sabbath observance today, or the observance of any law for that matter. Why so? Because several places the New Testament informs us that the Old Covenant does not apply to the Christian. So if the Old Covenant no longer applies, and the Ten Commandments is the hub of the Old Covenant, then logically the Ten Commandments no longer applies. Let's read a few of these passages that explicitly teach that the Old Covenant, of which the Ten Commandments are part, is now obsolete. Hebrews 8, verse 13. When he said a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. But whatever is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to disappear. Hebrews 8, 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 6 to 11. And I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. Who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. But if the ministry of death in letters engraved on stones, the ministry of death in letters engraved on stones, can't miss it, that's the Ten Commandments, came with glory so that the sons of Israel could not look intensely at the face of Moses because of the glory of his face fading as it was, how shall the ministry of the Spirit fail to be even more with glory? For if the ministry of condemnation has glory, much more does the ministry of righteousness abound in glory. For indeed, what had glory in this case has no glory as on account of the glory that surpasses it. For if that which fades away was with glory, much more that which remains is in glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 6 to 11. You should read that passage again when you have time. So very, very important. Speaking specifically of the Sinaitic covenant, Galatians 4, 30 to 31 reads, but what does the scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be an heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of a bondwoman, but of the free woman. So there it is. The New Testament affirms in many places that the Old Covenant has been abolished. And most Sabbatarians do not have a problem with this, just that they miss one little element. They forget to realize that the Ten Commandments is also a part of the Old Covenant. The covenant was a holistic document. You cannot have part of it being applicable and another part not applicable. You see, the arguments pertaining to the abolition of the Old Covenant was hammered out by many of our spiritual pioneers in the 1800s, and they did the best they could. Sad to say, their spiritual grandchildren are following them blindly without thinking through the things for themselves. However, when you say the Ten Commandments has been abolished, most Sabbatarians, and Seventh-day Adventists in particular, have a ready counter-argument. Even now I can hear them counteracting. Well, if the Ten Commandments is abolished, then are we free to kill, lie, steal, commit adultery, bear false witness, or worship gods other than the Creator? You know, this question appears to be reasonable and logical, but it is not. It betrays a childish understanding of Scripture. Let me give the answer up front, then drill down to explain. The answer is no. That the Decalogue is abolished does not mean that the Christian is free to kill, lie, steal, commit adultery, bear false witness, etc. The Christian will not do these evils, not because these rules are prohibited in the Ten Commandments, but because such rules and regulations happen to emerge from God's new covenant arrangement in Jesus. In fact, as we shall see shortly, the Christian will not and would not want to obey the laws pertaining to killing, adultery, coveting, worshiping of God, you know, the Sabbath, etc., as these laws emerge from Exodus 20 or Deuteronomy 5, but as they radiate from God's new revelation in Jesus. So I do not believe in killing or committing adultery or Sabbath breaking for that matter. But if I keep these laws as they emerge from the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, I am going to be a lawbreaker. And the first thing that is going to happen is that the church, SDA, whatever, is going to disfellowship me. The government of the land is going to lock me away in prison and throw away the key. Yes. If you keep the laws as they are stipulated in Exodus 20, that's exactly what is going to happen to you. You will be a lawbreaker and you are going to be in big trouble. Be patient. I'll explain. The point, I will not, as a Christian, obey the Ten Commandments as stipulated in Exodus 20 or Deuteronomy 5, but as they emerge from Jesus. And catch this now. The Ten Commandments, as they emerge from Jesus under the New Covenant, do not have a one-to-one correspondence with the Ten Commandments as they emerge from Mount Sinai. Let me repeat from a slightly different angle. The Ten Commandments, as they flow out of Jesus under the New Covenant, are not one and the same as the Ten Commandments that are stipulated under the Old Covenant at Sinai. As I often say, Mount Sinai does not bear a one-to-one correspondence with Mount Calvary. God's revelation in Jesus is not one and the same as God's revelation at Sinai. God's revelation in and through Jesus must not and cannot be equated with God's revelation through Moses. Again, 2 Corinthians 3:7, but if the ministry of death in letters engraved on stone, can't miss it, Ten Commandments, came with glory, so that the sons of Israel could not look intently at the face of Moses because of the glory of his face fading as it was, how shall the ministry of the Spirit fail to be even more with glory? For if the ministry of condemnation has glory, much more does the ministry of righteousness abound in glory. For indeed, what had glory in this case has no glory on account of the glory that surpasses it. Point, God's revelation in Jesus is not one and the same as God's revelation at Sinai. The New Testament is absolutely clear on this, and we will be seeing clearer and clearer as the series continues. But for now, let's clinch the point. I do moral deeds not because these moral deeds are prescribed in the Ten Commandments, but because these deeds flow out of the life and teachings of Jesus, God's new covenant to humanity. You see, a very, very important principle of Scripture is that God's laws within Scripture are always given within the context of covenants, and the laws are only obligatory based on the covenant under which they are given. Yes, a particular law that was under one covenant may be repeated under a later covenant, but that does not mean that that repeated law is obligated because it occurred under its previous covenant. It is only obligatory because it is repeated under a new covenant contract. Let's illustrate. Before gaining political independence from Britain in 1962, Jamaican citizens paid taxes. After independence from 1963 to the present, Jamaicans continue to pay taxes. However, they are not now paying taxes because they are bounded by the British Constitution, but because they are now bounded by the Jamaican Constitution. So the constitutional basis for tax paying post-independence is no longer the British Constitution or covenant, so to speak, but the Jamaican Constitution or covenant. Under the new Jamaican Constitution, the taxes are free to change to gain different expressions, different rationale, different applications. In the same vein, constitutionally, the Christian is not under the old Sinaitic covenant, that is the Ten Commandments. So even if he observes certain laws that appeared in the Ten Commandments, he is not obeying them because such laws flow out of the Ten Commandments or were enforceable based on the Ten Commandments. He obeys such laws because they are stipulated in God's new revelation in Jesus, the new constitution, the new covenant. And the new revelation in Jesus is not one and the same as the old revelation at Sinai. So from a biblical and exegetical perspective, there is absolutely no grounds for saying the Sabbath is acquired because it is part of the Ten Commandments. As a covenant document, it has lost its constitutional authority. I'll take a short break before we wrap this up. Please stay with me.
Washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay. God speak. Word of God speak, would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty.
Thanks for staying with me. Before the break, we discovered that we are not obligated to the Ten Commandments because the Ten Commandments constitute God's revelation in the Old Covenant, and the Old Covenant has been abolished. And also, God's laws as revealed in Jesus do not bear a one-to-one correspondence with God's laws as revealed in the Old Testament, in the Ten Commandments. It doesn't matter if you say that Jesus was also at Sinai. The point is, it's all God's revelation, but it's God's revelation at different points in salvation history, under different circumstances, through different media, Moses versus the incarnate and resurrected Jesus. The Christian is now under a new constitution, and according to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the ministration of death written on tables of stone has been superseded by the ministry of the Spirit in Jesus, of course. And Hebrews 1:1-3, God, who at sundry times and divers manners spoke to the fathers through the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us through his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things. God himself declared also in Luke 9:35, "This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him." Jesus repeatedly affirmed, "You've heard that it was said, but I am now saying to you." Matthew chapters 5-7. Again, the expression of the law through Jesus is not one and the same as the expression of the law via the Ten Commandments or Old Covenant. Thank God, SDAs and other Sabbatarians are not obeying the Ten Commandments as they are stipulated in Exodus 20, lest we all would be in big trouble. Again, from a biblical perspective, you cannot say that the Sabbath is obligatory because it is found in the Ten Commandments. I know you are anxious to hear the differences pertaining to the laws as they radiate from Jesus versus the laws as they are prescribed in the Ten Commandments, but, you know, be patient. There are some other elements and claims regarding the Ten Commandments that I must address first, as these will make it easier to see the importance and differences of the law as revealed in Jesus. In fact, the differences will become obvious as we proceed. So, first, let me look at some of the claims made regarding the Ten Commandments. Claim number one, the Ten Commandments is God's perfect law. Is this really the case? Or is this just another Sabbatarian tradition? Let's examine the evidence. The Sabbath commandment allowed for slavery. Yes, it does. Exodus 20, verse 10 reads, "In it, the Sabbath, thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant." The word translated servant in the King James Version is Hebrew ebed, which means slave. So let's read the Sabbath commandment as it was meant to be understood back then at Sinai. "Thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy male slave, nor thy female slave." So the Sabbath commandment up front allowed for slavery. So if you are a slave owner today, and there are thousands of such persons, the Sabbath commandment as stipulated in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5 gives you the right to keep those slaves. Only that you should be kind enough to allow them to rest one day per week when you are resting. The Sabbath commandment as stipulated in Exodus 20 does not require you to be kind enough to set them free from slavery. And this is no theoretical matter, as the Israelites back then in the Old Testament owned slaves. Just read Exodus chapter 21, 22. And also, there are millions of slaves, you know, worldwide today. Yes, people in the world own this property. So I ask you, is a command that allowed for slavery a perfect law? If SDAs would keep the Sabbath commandment as it is exposed in Exodus 20, then like the ancient Israelites, they would also keep slaves. Only that, like Israel, they would allow their slaves to rest on the seventh day. Again, a command that allowed for slavery cannot be classified as a perfect command. You cannot enforce one dimension of the Sabbath command and ignore the other dimensions or the implication of the Sabbath commandment. The point is, the entire Sabbath commandment was only an adaptation to a local situation back then. Let me see in the last 2 minutes if I can take just one more. Let's look at another one. The sixth commandment reads, "Thou shalt not kill," Exodus 20:13. In its primary context, this meant, do not kill your fellow Israelite under certain circumstances. However, pertaining to the Canaanites and certain disobedient Israelites, it was perfectly okay to kill them. For example, it was okay to kill the disobedient children, Leviticus 20 verse 9, Exodus 21, 15, sorcerers, Exodus 22, 18, adulterers, Leviticus 20, 10 through to 12, among several other violators. On the total annihilation of the Canaanites, see passages such as Deuteronomy chapter 20, 16, chapter 7, verses 1 and 2, Joshua 10, verse 40, 11, verse 11. A command that allows one to kill another person cannot be classified as perfect. And next week, I will drill down into several others of the Ten Commandments and show how indeed the entire code does not constitute a perfect code. Therefore, it cannot form the basis, the platform, the gold standard where God's law is concerned. So let's clinch the point for this week. The main point, the Ten Commandments is an integral part of the Old Covenant. The Old Covenant is abolished. Therefore, the Ten Commandments is abolished. No way around it. And I know the rejoinder, but we will deal with that next week and the following week. I am out of time, but it's a pleasure to share with you. And also, please note this for me, please. October 1 and 2. Neil's Auditorium, 22A Ward Avenue in Mandeville. I will be doing a seminar those two evenings, October 1 and 2 on the Sabbath. Neil's Auditorium, Mandeville, 7 p.m. Please join me for special in-depth presentation on the Sabbath. And also next week, here again on Nationwide Radio, I will continue elaborating on the Sabbath commandment. God bless you real good. Bye-bye for now. See you next week.